is the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder if you know him. My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he purifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's a key to knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is the teacher. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is lighter.
Hello, everybody. This is Pastor Branning coming to you live from Siloam Springs, Arkansas, with another special edition of the Pastor Branning Live broadcast. Is Jesus Christ your King today? If he is, praise the Lord. If not, you can know today that he can be your King. Amen. This is a talk show that hell hates, and the more you listen, the more you know why. And it's good to be here this afternoon. I almost said this evening and this morning, but it is this afternoon. It is good to be here. And we are going to be continuing on our Ten Commandments series, going to be looking at commandment number two today. And this is part three in our series, and we're going to be looking at the second commandment. And the second commandment is, thou shall not make any graven image. And we're going to be talking about that today. I got a lot of scripture to share with you today, and I mean I got a lot. I got a lot of stuff to share with you today, so I'm just going to kind of quickly go through some prayer requests. We'll go ahead and get started. And so with that said, we'll go ahead and I'm going to exit out here real quick. Let's start with some prayer requests. We have a fellow sister. Please pray for her, for strength for her, and please pray for her mother. Her mother's not doing very well, but please pray for this fellow sister that she gets enough sleep, gets enough rest. She's always busy. She's always got a lot of things going on, so keep her in prayer. Please pray for brother, for our fellow brother, for his family and his ex-wife for salvation. Please pray for brother Joey, as there are times he has pain, so pray for him. And he actually has his own ministry too, so pray for his ministry as well. And pray for brother Ryan Payton. Pray for him and his family. His family and him and his family are kind of going through a tough time right now, so pray for him. Pray for brother Ryan's ministry. And let's see here. And then there is a fellow sister that wants prayer for, as per the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. Please pray for me. Pray for me and my family, and pray for my ministry. Pray for these videos. Pray that God will take them and use them for His kingdom, for His glory. And pray that God will just have His way. Amen. And that's what I want. I want God to have His way. And that's going to be it for prayer requests. For those of you on Facebook that are tuning in or will be watching, please, put your requests on. If you want to, you can feel free to tell me your requests or just put it on. If you want people to pray for you and you really don't care about, if you don't care about sharing it, if you want to, go ahead and post it, and it's completely up to you. Amen. But anyways, so that's going to be it for prayer requests. It is good to be here. We're going to be talking, like I said, we're going to be talking about the second commandment. This is part number 3 in our series. And the purpose of the series is to show that you can't keep the law. Okay? And secondly, is that you need to have Jesus Christ in your life. Okay? So two things. My hope and prayer is that you can't keep the law. This is to show that you can't keep the law. And I think I said that wrong at the first time, so I apologize. But basically, my hope and prayer is that to show you that you can't keep the law and that you need Jesus Christ, that you need Him in your life. Amen? Because Jesus Christ is the only one who, he's the one who could keep the law. Amen? So we're going to be talking about the second commandment. And the second commandment is, thou shalt not make any graven image. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. And we're going to be starting in verse 1, but we're going to kind of go through and kind of do a little bit of a backtrack, and then we're going to kind of go forward from there. Okay? And starting in verse 1, it says, "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, and out of the house of bondage. Okay? Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Okay, that's the first one. We talked about that last time. We talked about how we are not to have other gods before the one true God. We also talked about how that correlates to idolatry, which essentially is adultery. And so, now continuing on in verse 4. Verse 4 is, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in water under the earth." Okay? So, this second commandment, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image." Okay? Now, we see here that this correlates more towards the idols, okay? So we're not to have any other gods before God Almighty. But we're also, in this second commandment, we see ties into that now we're not supposed to have any gods, false gods, as per idols. Okay, we're not to have idols in our life. Okay, we're not to bow down to graven images. Okay, we're not to bow down to them and think that, you know, we're doing God a service. Okay, that's not appropriate. Now, I do want to mention this one. I do want to mention this. Okay, it's this very commandment. Okay, that the Roman Catholic Church took out. Okay, the Roman Catholic Church took out this commandment. They took this commandment out, and they split the tenth. They took the tenth one and split it in two. Okay, that's what they did. So the Catholic Ten Commandments is like, okay, there's still ten, but it's not the original Ten Commandments. And the reason for that is because, again, the Roman Catholic Church took this commandment out. And the reason for it is because they have these saints, supposed saints, that they bow down to and worship. Okay? Now, we're going to be getting into, we are going to get into Roman Catholicism a little bit today. And we're going to get into the fact that they put Mary as equal as God, if not higher than God. Okay? So we're going to be kind of getting into Mary a little bit. We're going to be comparing a little bit, briefly, what the Roman Catholic Mary is to the biblical Mary. Okay? Because I'm going to tell you something. The Roman Catholic Mary is not the biblical Mary. And we're going to be getting into that today. That's going to be part of this whole teaching. Okay? And the reason why it's going to be, the reason why it's part of it is because we're not to make any graven image or likeness of anything that is in heaven or that is in earth beneath. Okay? We are not to bow ourselves down to them. Okay? Now, another thing I want to also say is, too, we have to be very careful at these statues and images of Christ. We have to be very careful with that. Now, when I say that, you'll see like a statue of what appears to be Jesus. Okay? But the reason why we have to be careful with that is because there is no image of the Godhead. Okay? Hang on a second. I want to show you guys something. I'm using this as an illustration. Okay? Now, in my hands here, I have a New King James Bible. Okay? It's a New King James Bible. I don't use it. I only teach and preach out of the King James. But this here is a New King James. Okay? Now, the Bible, the commandment is that we're not to make any graven image. Okay? Now, let me give you an example as to why I say we have to be careful when it comes to images and correlating them to the Godhead. Okay? Or statues of Christ. Okay? Here's why. Does anybody see that symbol? Okay? That is an occultic symbol that is called the triquetra. Okay? Triquetra, they'll say that this symbol is the symbol of the Trinity. Why? Because there's three. It's triquetra. Tri is three, right? So they say that this symbol is a symbol for the Trinity. Okay, God, Father, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Okay, that's what they'll tell you. However, that is not what that symbol is. That is an occultic symbol. Okay, I'm not going to get too deeply involved with the symbol. But this symbol here, the triquetra, is not the symbol for the Trinity. Okay? It's not. I always have to think of it as it's a symbol for the perverse Trinity. Satan, Antichrist, and Spirit of Antichrist, okay? But the triquetra is not the symbol of the Trinity, okay? It's not. Let me prove it real quick. Well, let me get into some scripture here, okay? Turn with me to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 17. Acts 17, verse 29. It says, "For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device." Okay? So, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone or graven by art and man's device. Let me tell you something, folks. Is that man's device? Is this symbol man's device? Is that art? Yes. So, if this symbol is of man's device, what makes you think it's the symbol for the Trinity? Because Paul tells us it's not. Okay? Paul says, nope, that's not, the Godhead is not. The Godhead is not likened unto any man's device. Amen? Romans chapter 1, verse 23. Okay? "And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things." Okay? Now, we see that they took and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God, that is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and made it into an image made like unto corruptible man. That is what the triquetra is. The triquetra, okay, is an image made by corruptible man. Okay? But it doesn't stop there. Okay? And it says, "And to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things." Okay, so animals, okay, beasts. In other words, maybe I'm wrong on this, but when you read that verse, that sounds an awful lot like pantheism, doesn't it? Because pantheism says that God is everything and everything is God. Well, no, not everything is God, okay? And they say how nature and stuff, how God is in nature and how nature is God. Well, nature is not God, okay? Nature is not God, okay? Was nature crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of nature? No. But when I say nature, I'm talking about animals and beasts, okay? And so, we see, and we actually see this in Israel's history, and we're going to get to that in a minute. But what that verse also says is another verse here I'm going to be mentioning here, that kind of correlates to that verse, okay? So if you go down in verse 25 of Romans chapter 1, it says, "Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." So we see that people, even in our days, are worshiping creation than the Creator. Okay? They're worshiping idols. They're worshiping trees. They're worshiping the ground that we walk on. They're worshiping the sun, the stars, the moon. I mean, they're worshiping all these all this creation, and don't get me wrong, the creation that all the things that God created are is a beautiful thing. But we shouldn't be worshiping that. Okay, now let me ask you a question. What is an idol? Now, I had this kind of towards the end, and I'm going to kind of mention it now. But what constitutes an idol? Well, what constitutes an idol is anything that you put ahead of God. In other words, it could be anything that you might have that you are a steward of that you put in first place ahead of God. That's an idol. Okay, that's an idol. And if I remember correctly, I think the last video we got into what God does with idols, he tears them down, doesn't he? Okay, and so when we take a look at idols, okay, your ministry can be an idol, your family can be an idol, video games can be an idol, TV can be an idol, American Idol is an idol. That's a but anyways, but those things are an idol. Amen. Those things and anything that you put ahead of God is considered as an idol. Okay? TV, games, your ministry can be an idol, money can be an idol, your car can be an idol, your clothes can be an idol, your pets can be an idol, your family can be an idol, anything is considered an idol. I apologize, that was my phone that fell down. Okay? So anything that you put before God is considered as an idol. And God says that we are not to make any graven image, we're not to have any idols, and we're not to bow down to them. God also tells us in his word that people are worshiping the creation more than the creator. Why? Because they didn't want to retain God in their thoughts. Amen. So let's continue on. Okay, so then let's briefly take a couple instances from Israel's history. Okay, as to examples as to people worshiping and worshiping the creation more than the creator. Okay, you see this right after they came out of Egypt. Okay, right after God manifested himself through the signs and wonders and got Israel out of Egypt. You know how they say, like, the expression that you could take you could take the man out of something, but you can't take the something out of man? Whatever it might be, was kind of like this. That's kind of like some of Israel's reality a little bit. Now, I don't know how much truth there really is in that, but God took Israel out of Egypt. But there are people, and some of Israel wanted to go back to Egypt. So with them, you know, they got taken out of Egypt, but Egypt wasn't, you know. And by the way, only God can take Egypt out of you. Why? By bringing you through tribulation and trials and burning off the chaff. Amen? We are to be set apart from this world. Okay? But the thing is, the point I want to make is that when God had brought Israel out of Egypt, okay, this is where they fell. And this was during the time that God was giving the commandments to Moses, okay? In Deuteronomy 9:16, it says, And I looked, and behold, ye had sinned against the Lord your God, and had made you a molten calf. Ye had turned aside quickly out of the way which the Lord had commanded you, okay? Here's the account of this, okay? Exodus chapter 32, verses 3 through 5. It says, "And all the people break off the gold earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. He received them at their hand and fashioned it in with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation and said, Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord." Okay? Now, let's go back up to Romans 1:23, okay? Romans 1:23, it says, "And change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things." You know what they did? They built an idol, they built a graven image, and they worshiped this thing. And God saw that they defiled themselves. That Israel defiled themselves because they were worshiping a graven image. They were worshiping an idol. They put this idol and said that these are the gods that brought you out of the land of Egypt. And that's not true. It was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that brought them out of Egypt. Devils cannot do that. Okay? Now, in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 18, it says, "Yea, when they had made them a molten calf and said, This is thy God that brought thee out of the land of Egypt and had wrought great provocations." Okay? They were having a feast day to this beast. They set a molten image in the likeness of a beast. And they were worshiping this thing. Okay. We're going to get to this at the end. But I want you guys to think on this for a second. What is man going to do in the last days? He's going to create an image of what? The beast. And this image is going to talk and walk. And anyone that refuses to worship it is going to be killed. That right there in Exodus is a type and picture of what's going to happen in the last days. Think on that for a second. Well, we're going to revisit that, okay? Now, so we see that they made this molten calf. Okay, this calf was like a... Okay, this calf is probably said to being what... what is Molech? Molech was a bull, wasn't he? He was a little god, little g, but he was in the form of a bull. Okay? And that's where all these child sacrifices have come in, and that's what this nation is guilty of, is through abortions, is that they're sacrificing, okay, their kids to, they're sacrificing their kids to Molech. Okay, hang on a second. I'm just going to just bring it up a tad bit. There we go. Okay, so Psalm 106:19, "They made a calf in Horeb and worshiped the molten image." Okay, so the first instance of Israel, okay, they broke God's commandment. Okay, they already broke the first two, okay? And James chapter 2 verse 10, it says that if you keep all the law but offend in one point, you're guilty of all. In other words, if you keep the whole law but offend in one point, which means you break just one, you've broken all. And we see here is that Israel, okay, was worshiping a false god. Okay, God says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." But then they also made a molten image to that false deity. And that's an idol. And they were worshiping this idol. And God says, "Don't do that." Okay? Now, here's another thing. They also did this with a brass, with the brazen serpent. Okay? Turn your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 4. Okay, 2 Kings 18, 4. He removed the high places and break the images and cut down the groves and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nushtan. Okay? So, let's go to the next verse. Numbers 21:9. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Okay, so let's stop and I want to explain some things about that. Okay, now we see in Numbers that Israel disobeyed God, and God had sent serpents to bite the people, and people were dying because of these serpents. Okay, and Israel cried out for help, and God instructed Moses to make a serpent of brass, okay, and put it on a pole. And that if anyone were to look on this serpent of brass, okay, he would live. Okay? Now listen, the reason why God told Moses to do that, because this right here is a type and picture of God's, of what God would do on the cross. Okay? This is a type and picture of your sin being judged on the cross. Why? Because cursed is he that hangeth in a tree. Okay, a tree can be a pole or a cross. Okay? Sin. Okay, the serpent represents sin. Okay? So, and brass is represented as judgment. Okay, so you see that this is a type and picture of God is using Moses to show that And that our sin was judged and cursed on the cross. In other words, that when Jesus Christ died, okay, your sin was judged on that cross. He who knew no sin became sin that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. Okay? In the Old Testament, when they did the animal sacrifices, okay, it said that when they were about to get ready to slaughter the animal, they would put their head upon the animal, and that man's sin would go into the animal, and that animal's righteousness would go onto the man. Now, why do I say that? Because at the cross of Calvary, where Jesus Christ died, our sins went on him, and his righteousness went on us. And by the way, the reason why Jesus Christ paid it all, and the reason why it's still sufficient today, because the righteousness of bull and goats could not last. But the righteousness of Jesus Christ is everlasting. You know why? Because he is the one person who kept all the law. And by the way, Jesus Christ is not dead. He is alive. And therefore, because he is alive and he is our high priest forever, he has an everlasting righteousness. Amen? An everlasting righteousness. But we see that this is a picture of our sin being judged at the cross. Okay? However, Israel later on decides to take that serpent and worship it as a god. They took that and they defiled it and they used it as an idol, and they were worshiping this brass serpent. They were worshiping this thing. That is why the groves and all the idols. And that's why the brazen serpent had to be cut in pieces or broke in pieces. Because they were worshiping this thing. This thing was an idol before God. It was an idol. And you know what? And you know what God does with idols? He cuts them down. Consider Dagon. Consider Dagon. Amen. So, but here's the thing. We see Israel had a, we see that Israel was worshiping these beasts as gods, as idols. Okay? But we also see that that's what's going on today. If you don't believe me, we're getting there. Okay? We're getting there. Okay? We'll get there. Okay? And we see even today that people are worshiping the creation more than the creator. And it doesn't have to be just beasts or nature. It can simply be a man or a woman or a saint. The Roman Catholic Church does this. Okay? They worship Mary. They pray to Mary. They say that Mary was a virgin all her life. They call her the Virgin Mary. That's not the biblical Mary. Okay? There's a difference between the Virgin Mary, the Roman Catholic Mary, and the biblical Mary. Okay? Here's the difference. Matthew chapter 1, verse 24 through 25. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus. What, you know what that means? Was that that Joseph didn't go in unto Mary till after Jesus was born. What that means is that Mary had kids. Joseph and Mary had kids. Jesus had half brothers and half sisters. Okay? He did. Matthew chapter 12, verse 47. Then one said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand here, stand without, desiring to speak with thee. Mark chapter 3, verse 22 through 23. And the multitude said about him, and they said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seek for thee. And he answered them, saying, Who is my mother and my brethren? Okay, Luke chapter 8, verse 19 through 20. Then came to him his mother and his brethren, and could not at him for the press. And it was told by him, by certain, which said, Thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to see thee. So we see that Jesus had half-brothers. Okay? Thy mother and thy brethren desire to see thee. Jesus had half-brothers. Okay? Mary had kids. If Mary had kids, it means she was not a virgin her whole life. She wasn't a virgin all her life. Like the Catholics like to suggest. Okay? Now, why am I talking about this? Because out of anyone in the Catholic Church, They're taking Mary and propping her up to godhood or goddesshood. Okay? They're even so much as elevating her to being a goddess. Or, as they'd say, as, I don't know, the Queen of Heaven. You see, the biblical... So, obviously, God created Mary. The biblical Mary. God created Mary. But the Roman Catholic Church is taking something that God created and they're idolizing her. They're worshiping her. They're worshiping her as the Queen of Heaven. Which, by the way, breaks the commandment, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in earth beneath. You know why? Because the Roman Catholic Church have statues of Mary everywhere. And they got these statues of these saints. They got statues of saints that they pray to. The Roman Catholic Church took this second commandment out because they didn't like it. They don't like to hear it. They don't like it because they know they're guilty of it. Amen? So, I mentioned the Queen of Heaven, okay? The Queen of Heaven is indeed mentioned in the Bible. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 18. The children gather wood, and the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead their dough to make cakes to the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto other gods, that they may provoke me to anger. Let me tell you something. Right there is a violation of the first commandment, and what we're seeing is that's also a violation of the second commandment. Okay? Stay right there, and I want you to turn with me to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. Okay, James chapter 2. And James chapter 2, and we're gonna read from verse 10. And I gotta first find James. My Bible has the pages kind of stick together, so just sort of bear with me here for a second. James chapter 2, verse 10. James chapter 2, verse 10. And it says, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. Okay? The Roman Catholic Church is propping up Mary to goddesshood, and yet they have statues, and what they did was they took this second commandment out because they know they're guilty of it. Okay? And what we just read in Jeremiah 7:18 about how the fathers kindle the wood and the wood, and the woman neither dough for the Queen of Heaven. Okay, that violates the first one, the first commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And the reason why I took you to James chapter 2, verse 10, because if you violate that first commandment, you've violated all the commandments. To have other gods before the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is idolatry and a spiritual adultery. Therefore, there's lust involved. And I can't really connect with all the Ten Commandments, but you see that you break one, you broke all. If anybody tells you that you can keep the Ten Commandments perfectly, lie through their teeth. I came across a Seventh-day Adventist, got into an argument with him on the issue of keeping the commandments. It's funny because they admitted, you know what's, okay, here's what's funny. They claimed that they keep all the commandments, and yet they even admitted that they sinned and fell short. That's like two contradictory statements there. You can't keep the law and still sin. You know why? Because if you sin, you broke the law. If you sin, you break the law. And by the way, even after being born again, we have times that we fall short. So if you think that you can keep the Ten Commandments and yet you sin, your thinking is warped. Because it's impossible to keep the Ten Commandments and still fall in sin. It doesn't work that way. If you sin, you broke the commandments. That's why we need Jesus Christ. You know why? Because Jesus Christ is the only one who fulfilled the law. He's the only one who kept all the commandments. Jesus Christ has an everlasting righteousness. If we are righteous, it's not because of our righteousness. It's because the Lord's righteousness has come upon you because you put your faith and trust in what He did at the cross. Our self-righteousness are as filthy rags to God. And by the way, if the Bible says your righteousness are as filthy rags to God, what makes you think you can keep the law? It aches me. It just grinds my gears how people think that they can keep the law and yet think that if they sin, they're still keeping the law. But let me tell you something. That is the thinking of Seventh-day Adventists. Or at least one particular one, anyways, that I've spoken to. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe that the Sabbath is indeed a Saturday. But we should be worshiping Jesus Christ every day. Jesus Christ is our Sabbath. We're not to just one day of the week, worship the Lord. Let us worship the Lord every day. I go to church on Sunday because that's when I go to church. I preach like 3-4 times a week. You know why? Because, boy, I tell you what, if I don't preach, I feel like I just need to preach. I gotta preach. I like preaching. I enjoy preaching. I can't go very long without preaching. If I can't preach, I don't know what else I have. You know, I gotta preach something, you know? Even if I gotta prop open the Bible and start reading. Amen? But listen, the Roman Catholic Mary is not the Bible Mary. It's the Queen of Heaven. And so they took this commandment out because they know they're guilty of it. And they have statues of Mary that they pray to. Matter of fact, what was it? Pope Francis said that Mary worship was not an option. Well, Pope Francis, I'm sorry, but it is an option. And my option is that I'm going to worship the Lord my God. You know why? Because there is only one God. His name is Jesus Christ, Emmanuel. He's Jehovah. He's the only one I choose to worship. Amen. Let's continue on. Jeremiah 44:17. But we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of your own mouth, to burn incense unto the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto her, as we have done. See, Israel was worshiping the Queen of Heaven. By the way, that's who the Catholics worship. And you know, you want to know something? They violated the commandments already. They've already violated the whole law. I've only touched on the first commandment and the second commandment. and reading what Israel did, they just violated both commandments. By the way, we still have 8 more to touch on. By the way, you know how people say that I'm a good person? Well, here's the thing. When people say that they're good and they don't commit adultery, sure, you might have a person who doesn't commit adultery with another man's wife. But if you're not born again and you worship false gods, you're guilty of adultery. You know why? Because Paul says, I've espoused you to one husband. I present you a chaste virgin to Christ. You know what that means? That means that we have one husband. That's God. God is the husbandman. Paul says, I espouse you a chaste virgin to Christ. To one husband. You know, that is Jesus Christ. Amen? That is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the one husband that we have. And by the way, to go off and worship false gods is committing adultery. Why? Because spiritually speaking, you're sleeping around with other gods, little g. And you're not committing yourself to the one true God. That's just as worse as breaking a marital vow. Amen? Because the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ is a type and picture of marriage. Amen? Anyways, let's go on. Jeremiah 44:25. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, ye and your wives have both spoken with your mouths and fulfill your hand, saying, we will surely perform our vows that we have vowed to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven. By the way, burning incense is a type and picture of prayer. Why? Because when Zacharias, when his lot fell on him, when he went to burn incense, that's prayers being lifted up. That is a picture of prayers being lifted up to God. So when you burn incense, who are you burning incense to? Who are you praying to? Are you praying to Jehovah God, or are you praying to some other deity that's unknown? Think about that. Who are you praying to? Are you praying to God the Father, or are you praying to a false god? Because if you're praying to a false god, you're burning incense to a false god. And that breaks the first and second commandments. And we haven't gotten it. But like I said, we have 8 more commandments to go. Okay. Here's the thing. I want to point something out to you guys. Okay. It's not just Mary. It's not just Mary that the Catholics pray and worship to. They also pray to these saints. They bow down to these statues of saints. Okay. Which, by the way, is something that God... And by the way, that breaks the second commandment. That breaks the commandment that we're getting into. Okay, thou shalt not make any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. Okay, and let me make this point. Revelation chapter 22, verse 8 through 9. Okay, and I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I'm thy fellow servant and of thy brethren, the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. John had bowed and was going to worship this angel. And the angel said, no, don't worship me, worship God. This angel, whether you realize it or not, was reminding John of this commandment that thou shalt not bow yourself to the creation. Angels are part of the creation. And John was going to bow himself to this angel. And the angel said, don't bow down to me. Worship God. Amen. Worship God. And by the way, the Catholic Church, they're bowing themselves to these saints. All I have to tell you is, don't be bowing down to your brethren and fellow servants. Don't do it. Worship Jehovah God. Amen. Revelation 19:10. And I fell at his feet to worship him and said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Again, worship God. Don't worship idols. Don't bow yourself to the statues of saints. Because if you do, you're breaking the second commandment. You are. And by the way, for those of you that know so far that you've broken the first and second commandments, don't you ever say that you can keep the commandments and yet break them. That's contradictory. Okay? We're not to bow down to these statues. We're not. Finally, I want us to take a look at some more of these graven images. We've taken a little bit more. We've taken a look at some of these examples, but we're going to wrap it up with a pretty big statement, and we're going to kind of tie everything together. Okay. Psalm chapter 78, verse 58. For they provoked him to anger with their high places and moved him to jealousy with their graven images. See, God doesn't want you worshiping graven images. Our God is a jealous God. Okay? Isaiah chapter 42, verse 8. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Don't be praising and worshiping images. Don't be praising and worshiping graven images. And don't be praising and worshiping idols. Because if you do, you are in direct violation of the second commandment. And therefore, you can't keep the commandments. Amen. Micah chapter 1, verse 7. And all the graven image thereof shall be beaten to pieces, and all the hires thereof shall be burned with fire, and all the idols thereof will I lay desolate, for she gathered it of the hire of an harlot, and they shall return to the hire of an harlot. Okay. Now, I mentioned about how before we get there, turn with me to Daniel chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Daniel 3, 1 through 7. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of the king made an image of gold, whose height was 80 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. The Nebuchadnezzar the king sent together the pieces, the governors and the captains, and the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and the rulers of the province to come to the dedication of the image, which Nebuchadnezzar the king set up. Then the princes and the governors and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whose falleth not down and worshipeth, shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore, at the time when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up." Let me tell you something. Right there, we see in Daniel that Nebuchadnezzar set up an image, a graven image. That right there is a direct violation of the second commandment. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Nebuchadnezzar set up a graven image, and people were bowing down to this image and worshiping it. All right, what does God say in Exodus chapter 20, verse 5? It says, "Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me." Nebuchadnezzar set up a golden image. Let me tell you something. This is a type and picture of what is to come in our days, coming up soon. Remember earlier, I mentioned how Israel had made a molten calf. They made a beast, a molten calf, which is a beast. They made an image of a beast and they worshiped it. And remember that I told you that that is a type, a picture of what is to come in our days. You know what's interesting? The image that Israel made that was in the form of a beast was a golden image. Nebuchadnezzar made a golden image. They were gold. And both instances are examples of what is to come in our days. And we're going to be getting to that scripture here in just a little bit. Okay? If you guys are just tuning in, I want you guys to turn in your Bibles to Daniel 3. Okay? Daniel 3. And we're going to go down to verse 14. That's right, sister. That's right. When you hear the music, you fall down and worship. Let me tell you about the music nowadays. The music is done by a bunch of devil-possessed people. And Nebuchadnezzar said, "If once you hear the music, you fall down and worship this image." Rock and roll. You know what rock and roll is pointing towards? It's pointing towards to the Antichrist. A lot of the secular music is pointing you towards the Antichrist. When you hear the music, you fall down and you worship. okay? We're seeing Daniel 3, 1 through 7 is a type. Daniel chapter 3 is a picture of what's happening in our days. Okay? So turn with me to Daniel chapter 3. We're going to read verses 14 through 18. 14 through 18. Okay? Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the sackbut, the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace, and who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if it not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Let me tell you something about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Okay? They knew the second commandment was to not bow down to any false idols, to not have any false gods before him, and to not bow down to any image. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, "We're not bowing down to that thing. Even if our God doesn't spare us and deliver us, we're not bowing down to that thing." Remember, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image," okay? "And thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them." And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were the only ones standing, while everyone else fell. My question to you is, will you be one of those? Will you be one of those that will remain standing when everybody else has fallen down? Because if not, you need to get it right. And how you get it right? It's not by keeping the law. You get it right with being born again by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Jesus, the New Testament emphasizes being saved by faith through grace. Not of yourselves, lest any man should boast. Which that should tell you, okay, that you are not saved by the keeping of the law. You are saved by faith through grace. Amen. Now, yeah, I want us to go. Oops, what happened here? Okay, so like I mentioned, let's take a step back. So when I was mentioning about how Israel made a golden calf, okay. They made an image to a beast and they worshiped it. We're going to see that in Revelation chapter 13. Okay? Doesn't say calf. Okay? It says an image to a beast. But a calf is a beast. Okay? What happened in Exodus when Israel made a calf, okay, a golden calf, and they worshiped this thing. They worshiped a beast. We're going to see that that is a type and picture of what is to come and what is slowly coming to pass. Okay? Revelation chapter 13, verses 11 through 17. It says, "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns, like unto a lamb, and spake as a dragon, and exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed, and he doth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make a what? An image to the beast, which he had the wound by the sword and did live, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell, save he had that mark, that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of the name. Thou shalt not make any graven image. And they're going to make a graven image to the beast. And that image is going to come alive. And whoever doesn't bow down to it, which if you're born again, you know not to bow down to it. But the price of it is, you're going to get killed. But when you get killed, you'll leave this earth and be joined with the Father for all eternity. In the last days, they're going to make an image to the beast. And it's going to come alive. What did Israel do after they came out of Egypt? They made an image of a beast and they worshipped it. And that beast was a calf. I want to remind you of a verse that we mentioned earlier. Romans chapter 1, verse 23. And change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image, made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Man is going to continue doing that. There is no new thing under the sun. Amen. There is no new thing under the sun. Now listen. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, okay, you can know. Is Jesus Christ your King? Because if not, you can know for sure today that He is your King. Okay? And listen, some of you might have watched this and say, well, I don't have any idols. I don't worship false gods. I worship the true God. Let me ask you a question. Do you have a love of money? Because the love of money is the root of all evil. And the love of money is an idol. Anything that you have that you put first before God is an idol. Even images can be an idol. Do you bow yourself to images, pictures, statues? Because if you bow yourself to them, you're breaking the second commandment. And remember, there is no image for the Godhead. And by the way, let me remind you this again. I made a reference to this. James chapter 2, verses 10 through 11. For whosoever shall keep the whole law, and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. The Bible is very clear. There's no contradictions to the Word of God. Okay? And by the way, your family, your pets, TV, video games, people, anything like that, if you put any of those things, even you, and by the way, even your ministry can be an idol. Even your ministry can be an idol. We have to be very careful at what we say and do, because stuff that we say and do can be an idol in our life, and it can be a hindrance to serving God the right way. Amen. Listen, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, okay, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, okay, today is the day to get that right if you don't know. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is who he says he is, and that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. And if you want to know today on how to become saved, it's simple. Okay? You need to go before God with a sincere heart. Admit that you are a sinner. Repent of your sins. Ask the Lord to forgive you and cleanse you. Ask the Lord to come into your heart. And ask the Lord to be your Lord and Savior. Ask Him to fill you with His Spirit. And then thank Him for saving you. Amen. Thank Him for saving you. And when you do that, you are surrendering yourself. And you're putting your faith and trust in what He did for you at the cross. Amen. Listen, I love you. I love you all because I love you, I tell you the truth. Okay? However, I don't want you taking my word for things, because I can be wrong. Okay? I can be wrong. I want you to take what I say and you match it with this Bible. If what I say does not match with what this Bible says, then let God be true and every man a liar. If I'm wrong, I pray and ask that the Lord will correct and rebuke and chasten me and show me where I'm wrong. But if I am, and one of these days I will have to stand before the Lord and give an account as to everything I said and did in this body. But if I am right, then I pray and ask that the Lord will show you what I'm talking to you about. Amen. Listen, I'm going to play a hymn. And during this time, I want you guys to think on some things, okay? If the Lord is calling you to repent, if the Lord is dealing with you on things, I want to take this time to, you know, let the Holy Ghost do what He needs to do. Amen. So I'm going to play this. It's a 39-second hymn. Trust and obey. I'm gonna play it two times. Okay. I want you guys to think about it. Okay. Amen. Think about, just if the Lord's dealing with you, this is the time to go before the Lord. Amen. We'll go ahead and get started. Thank you. Listen, it was good to be here with you this afternoon. God bless you. I had off today. Please keep me in prayer. Please keep my family in prayer. Please keep this ministry in prayer. And please pray for our brothers and sisters. Pray for our nation. It was really great to be with you today. It's good to be with you guys this afternoon. And listen, I love you guys. Let's see, tomorrow is Saturday. Okay, so I may not do a video tomorrow, but hopefully starting next week, we'll sort of get back into it again. But anyways, listen, I love you guys. God bless you. I hope this was a blessing. My hope and prayer is to show you a couple things. Number one is you can't keep the law. And number two, that you need Jesus Christ. Now, here's the thing. Even though you can't keep the law, does not give you an excuse to go off and sin, okay? That's not a license to sin, okay? I just want to make that abundantly clear, okay? But even after you become born again, you still have that sin nature, and you just, there's times, and by the way, the Lord will use the law to chasten and correct us, amen? So the Lord is dealing with you today. Please allow him to deal with you, amen. Let him deal with you as he needs to deal with you, amen. But anyways, listen, it was good to be here with you this afternoon. I love you guys. God bless you. I hope this was a blessing to you. I hope you learned something from this, amen. And you keep us in prayer. Keep me in prayer. Keep the ministry in prayer. And let's pray for our brothers and sisters, amen. Anyways, listen, I love you guys. God bless you. And if the Lord willing, we'll see you Monday. God bless you guys. Love you. Bye.